Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa ridha nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimatihi. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala rasulik sayyidina wa shafi'ina wa maulana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana zidna ilma, amma ba'd. So the topic is attaining the nisbah, and we were speaking about guidelines. We are on the topic of guidelines of attaining the nisbah. The author said before, it is the words of the mashayikh. The words of the mashayikh are that the two stepping stones to this path are a sincere yearning should be in the heart, and willpower. These are the two stepping stones to tasawwuf. A sincere yearning in the heart to find Allah, and the second stone is willpower. Strong willpower and determination. So guidelines of attaining the nisbah. The first point we dealt with last week was remaining in a state of wudu. That's point number one. To remain in a state of wudu. Number two, constant dhikr. Constant dhikr, which is called in tasawwuf wukuful qalb, the awareness of the heart. Wukuful qalb. Alongside external purity, which comes with the wudu. And of course, external purity has an impact on internal purity also. Alongside external purity, internal purity is very important. Our goal is to attain Allah's nisbat, connection within our hearts. But He, Allah, does not like to enter filthy hearts. Thus the purification of the heart is also very important, so as to cleanse it with the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, thereby instilling the ability to recognize and appreciate His attributes and sifat. The wukuful qalb, awareness of the heart, is to make sure that every passing moment the heart is engaged in repeating Allah's name. Allah Ta'ala states, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فاذكروا الله قياما. Remember Allah standing, وقودا, and sitting down, وعلى جنوبهم, and upon their sides. Remember Allah standing and sitting and lying down. فاذكروا الله قياما وقودا وعلى جنوبكم. And so it is known that the constant remembrance of Allah is binding upon those who strive to attain His love. This is binding. The wukuf is in a sense an exercise of the heart to make sure that no moment goes by without remembering Allah. The actuality of a human compels him to think about one thing or the other at all times. That's the reality of man. Wukuful qalb simply channels this thought process away from unnecessary things to their creator. In the beginning, it looks difficult, but with constant practice, it becomes easy. Then there comes a stage where the person is tied down in work, but his heart incessantly remembers his Rabb. Thus the hands are busy with work and the heart with the friend. Hands busy in the work, and the heart with the friend. After the abundance of dhikr, it becomes as a part of the heart, such that a person always finds himself in the presence of Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala states, this is Hadith Qudsi, Allah states, Ana jalisu man dhakarani. That I am the jalis. I am the jalis of that one who remembers me. I am the jalis of that one who remembers me, which means a jalis is one who sits and remains with a person. In other words, I dwell with the person who remembers me. I am with him, I stay with him. And a jalisu man dhakarani. What will be the level of such a person's spiritual progress? Such a person gains nutrition from the remembrance of his Rabb. He gets nutrition from the remembrance of his Rabb and stays afloat the journey to his beloved till he reaches him and engages in a life of love thereon. This is why the statement, wukuful qalb, is the back door to reach the true one. This wukuful qalb, that is the back door to reach the true one, that's why the statement came about. Those seekers of this path who strive to exercise this and constantly keep their heart in check are able to attain the nisbah in a relatively short time. Third guideline, adherence to spiritual lessons. Whenever someone gives bay'ah to a sheikh, he prescribes for him some litany, some zikr and stuff and actions to perform according to a schedule. They lead to an automatic Islamic and Quranic revolution within the individual's life. The love of Allah permeates him to the extent that his walking, talking, vision all change. He feels as if there was a layer of hypocrisy over him, that this has been removed and instead a truthful human being has been resurrected from underneath it. The seeker who adheres firmly to the acts prescribed by the sheikh attains the nisbah very quickly. The salikin of this path, the people who tread this path, the salikin, should adhere strictly to the deeds prescribed by him and never delay them so as to attain the true purpose of the spiritual pledge, the bay'ah. May Allah be pleased with our mashayikh, for they have designed each spiritual lesson such that it takes the seeker's state to peak levels at every step, till he actually becomes a sahibun nisbah. Some salikin, some people of this path, remain connected to a sheikh for numerous years, but remain devoid of actually attaining the light of nisbah, devoid of it. The basis is that they do not adhere to the acts he prescribes for them, simple. They don't do what he says to do. They would engage in every act of the world except for their spiritual training. Everything else except those things that they are supposed to do. One should understand the importance of these spiritual lessons, for their benefits are as time-tested as 2 + 2 = 4. Hundreds of millions of people across centuries have used them and found them to work spiritually. If someone does not engage in such practice and then complains about lack of spiritual progress, then what is the use of blaming the sheikh? The example of such a person is of someone who visits the topmost doctor, obtains prescription, but does not use it, and wanders around with the prescription in his pocket. Will it give him the desired results to wander around with it, or actually use the medicine prescribed? Thus, one should ordain these spiritual exercises upon himself, just as one ordains daily nutrition. Ordain it. While nutrition provides physical energy, These provide spiritual energy. Physical energy, spiritual energy. So we spoke about number one, being in a state of wudu. Number two is wukuful qalb, awareness of the heart. Awareness of the heart, consciousness of the heart, excessive zikr, constant zikr. And number three, doing what was prescribed by the Shaykh. Number four, self-control, self-control. Our inner self, which is called the nafs, or the carnal desires, our inner self has an intense lust for desires. That's how the nafs was created. That's basic, the basic qualities of the nafs, a lust for desires. That's how our inner self is. It ceases to run. It ceases to run after desires even for a second. It ceases to run after desires even for a second. It doesn't stop running after desires even for a second. If these desires are fulfilled by the nafs, without any self-control, without any control, restraint, then it becomes healthier. Every time our desire is fulfilled, the nafs becomes stronger and healthier. While the ruh and the spirit becomes weaker and weaker, which leads to the human being unable to absorb the mercy descending from the spiritual world. He doesn't have the ability to absorb that mercy descending from the spiritual world because the ruh is too weak. Thus the mashayikh make their disciples undergo self-control exercises in order to rectify the nafs, the inner self. Allah Ta'ala states, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Verily he who attained internal purification of his nafs reached success. He is successful. مَنْ تَزَكَّى. That one who does the tazkiyah of himself, the internal cleansing of himself. At another point, says Allah, وَأَمَّا مَنْ قَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. As for that one who fears the standing before his Rabb, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, and he prevents his nafs, his inner self, from the fulfillment of lusts and carnal desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then Jannah is his abode. When a patient goes to a doctor, he is given medicine and also told to refrain from using some items. If the patient uses the medicine, he uses the medicine but fails to refrain from prohibited items, he does not attain the cure. Similarly for the seeker, the salik, the spiritual exercises given by the mashayikh are medicine, while self-control, control of the inner self, the nafs which takes willpower and determination and courage, self-control is as if refraining from a prohibited item. So you're taking the medicine and this is like refraining from a prohibited item. Just as a doctor prevents a patient from using items that are otherwise nutritious for a healthy person, the Shaykh prevents the disciple at times from things even considered legal in the Sharia, simply to implement self-control. Self-control is majorly of four types. Self-control, four types. Control of eating, sleeping, talking, and interaction with people. It's called killatu ta'am, less food and drink. Killatul manam, less sleeping, control of sleeping. Killatul kalam, less talking. Wa killatul iqtilat ma'alanam, and less interaction with people. So it's four controls. Control of eating, control of sleeping, talking, and interaction with people. This is all under control of the nafs. Let's deal with the first one, control of eating. Control of eating implies eating less. Eating less is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And it is the symbol of the awliya of this ummah, of the saints of this ummah. That's the symbol, that's their landmark. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, to ponder is half of worship, and eating less is entire worship. Tafakkur, fikr, pondering, muraqabah, of Allah's greatness, is half of worship, because that brings you to marifah. And eating less is entire worship. At another point, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the most eminent in the eyes of Allah is he who ponders over the greatness of Allah and eats less. And the biggest enemy of Allah is he who eats excessively and sleeps excessively. So two hadiths here. To ponder is half of worship, and eating less is entire worship. Next hadith. The most eminent in the eyes of Allah is he who ponders and eats less. And the biggest enemy of Allah is he who eats and eats excessively and sleeps excessively. Moreover, the Prophet alayhi salam also said more or less, the one who fills his stomach does not find a path towards the sky, towards divinity. Also, do not kill your heart. Do not kill your heart with excessive eating and drinking, because the heart is like crop. The heart is like crop. And excessive watering can destroy the crop. And the heart is like crop. Excessive watering can destroy the crop. So do not kill your heart with excessive eating and drinking, because heart is like the crop, and excessive watering can destroy the crop. These are hadiths point to the fact that Allah holds hunger dearer to a full stomach. The benefit of this is that the heart stays alive and energetic, being able to absorb the showers of rahmah descending down. The awliya of this ummah, the saints of this ummah, keep engaged in great control of eating to attain the pleasure of Allah. And the incidents narrated of their self-control perplex the ordinary mind. However, because today's disciples do not possess the ability of their predecessors, they are not instructed to engage in such exertion, and instead told to work more, just work more, to compensate for the extra eating habits. The following things should be borne in mind in regards to eating habits. 1. Eat with moderation. Not less enough to become weak. Not excessive enough to engage in constant burping. 2. Start eating. This is a big secret. Start eating when hunger is at its peak. And stop eating when a bit of hunger remains. What a beautiful sentence. And this is the sunnah. And this is the way to health also. This is the way to health. Start eating when hunger is at its peak. And stop eating when a bit of hunger remains. 3. Eat those items that hold immense nutritional value so as to gain maximum strength. Do not engage in eating for the sake of mere delight of the tongue. Just to please the tongue and you're eating, one eating. No. Do not engage in the habit of eating tits and bits every now and then. Avoid eating snacks for the sake of passing time. Sometimes people just eat snacks just to pass time. 5. While eating, keep your attention towards wukuful qalb, awareness of the heart, consciousness of the heart, awareness of Allah, constant remembrance of Allah. While eating, let this practice be there while eating. And once done, weep to Allah and say that you only ate, O Allah, you only ate out of the need of the body, because Allah created the body in such a beautiful way. When the car needs fuel and the car needs gas, then the needle goes on the E, it reads empty. The gauge shows and it reads empty. The needle goes towards the E, because the tank is empty And the car needs fuel. So too the human body needs fuel. We need gas, we need energy. But what is the gauge? What is the measuring instrument? It is hunger. That tells us that our body needs energy. And the needle is on E. And we need to. So, tell Allah that you only ate out of the need of the body to get strength and energy. Thus Allah Ta'ala would enjoin you within the excused and not hold this habit of eating against you. Otherwise, such people become, who cannot control eating, they become gluttons. So, in self-control, control of the nafs, two things. Control of the eating, two. Let's speak about controlling of the sleep. This implies sleeping less, Ya Allah. Excessive sleeping percolates one's carefreeness and lack of concern in life. Wise people have indicated that excess of sleep leads to increase in sluggishness. It leads to a decrease in intelligence. The brain starts to go to sleep too. Decrease in intelligence. Harmful to the brain. It leads to harm to the brain and to the heart also. Moreover, that it leads to loss in the years of life. The biggest downfall of sleeping too much is that it leads to loss in the years of life. To understand this, suppose that a person sleeps 8 hours a day, or 1/3 of a day, which is basically 8 hours a day he sleeps. If this person has a life of 60 years, then he spent 20 years in sleeping. It means 20 years he has lost from his life in sleeping, leaving him with a productive life of 40 years. This is why sleep has been referred to as the sister of death. Sleep is known as Uktul Maut, the sister of death. It also leads to temporary unconsciousness. Control of the sleep leads to the disclosure of the hidden truths to a person from the skies. Wow. Control of the sleep leads to the disclosure of the hidden truths to a person from the skies. Some scholars have stated that after a long period of struggle against sleep, one is exposed to hidden truths and the proximity of Allah in his sleep. After a long period of struggle against sleep, one is exposed to hidden truths and the proximity of Allah in his sleep. He starts to see good stuff in his sleep now. And the attribute of the Abdal, the highest level of the saints of Wilayat, is that the attribute of the Abdal is that his sleep is mere weariness. His sleep is mere weariness. His food, hunger, and his speech out of necessity. Wow. Sleep, mere weariness. Food out is just hunger. And speech out of necessity. The awliya and the saints of this ummah have set examples in practicing self-control in terms of sleep. Some have prayed the morning prayer Fajr with the wudu of the previous night's prayer Isha for continuous 40 years. Some simply wrapped up their beds after 40 years of age, while some slept in a sitting posture. All these struggles are perfectly correct, and those with strong determination and high ambitions have set the bar for them. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ And in this should strive those who want to strive. Suratul Mutaffifin. The mashayikh of today do not encourage people to engage in such exercises, not encourage. And instead tell them to moderately take sleep to relieve their body. They are instructed to keep the sunnah in mind and thus the following principles. 1. Okay, so our body is not like the people of long ago. We are weaker, so we are not encouraged to go through these exercises. But one, when we sleep, sleep in a state of wudu. Sleep in a state of wudu. Two, take some rest during the day. That is so important, to take some rest during the day, especially the Qailula rest, the Sunnah rest, which is after lunch, after midday, after you take your lunch, and after Zuhar, you take a little, if it's even 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, that's so important. Take some rest during the day. Three, sleep early at night. As the saying goes, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. But it is the reverse with our youngsters today. They go to sleep late at night and they wake up late in the morning. So sleep early at night. Four, wake up early and pray tahajjud. Wake up early and pray tahajjud in the last half or the last third or the last portion of the night. And five, alter your sleeping requirements according to the level of work in your daily schedule. And the average 5 to 6 hours of sleep is perfect for a seeker of this path, one who wants the path of tasawwuf and to tread this path to take you to Allah, to get that nisbat. On the average, 5 to 6 hours of sleep is perfect for a seeker of this path. We spoke about controlling the nafs, control of eating, control of sleeping, control of speech and interaction. That's the other two, control of speech and interaction. Control one's talking, and this is so important because sometimes we just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. It's a, sometimes it becomes like a sickness. And then we hurt people's ears. Control of one's talking sharpens the intellect and instills wisdom and piety. Very important statement. Control of one's talking sharpens the intellect and instills wisdom and piety. Such a person is granted pearls of different types of knowledge from Allah. As the proverb goes, speech is silver and silence is golden. Silence is golden. So such a person is granted pearls of different types of the control of interaction with the creation. Too much of mixing and liming and always with people and laughing and too much mixing and mingling. Control of interaction with the creation leads to the heart being free to think of the Creator, because then you're alone now. So it leads the heart to being free to think of the Creator and focuses the thinking in that direction, while developing steadfastness and istiqamat. This is due to the fact that excessive socialization becomes the basis for lack of concern, dispersion of thought, and impurity of intention. And that's so true. This is due to the fact that excessive socialization becomes the basis for lack of concern, dispersion of thought, and impurity of intention. In terms of controlling eating and sleeping, the seekers of this path are instructed to alter it, keeping their body health in mind. However, in controlling speech and unnecessary interaction, they are instructed to engage excessively in it. These two, excessively. The other two, with moderation. Less eating, less sleeping. Look at the health of your body. But in controlling speech and unnecessary interaction, the seekers of this path are instructed to engage excessively in it, for it does not wreak any effect on the body, but it does cause the desired and intensive effect on the inner self and the nafs. Big difference on the nafs it causes. Avoid all unnecessary friendships and interactions and become focused on your goal. though socialization, muasharat, socialization is legal in the Sharia, for a beginner of this path, it is dangerous and can divert him from the goal. Albeit, once a person has gained the required level of concentration towards Allah's presence, then this danger subsides. Bear in mind that there should be lack of interaction and talking, not termination. It implies that company and speech that leads to benefits of the hereafter should be adopted. Moreover, a person needs to fulfill the rights of others and obligations towards him. So it's this lack of interaction, in other words, less interaction and talking, not termination. Company and speech that leads to benefits of the akhirat should be adopted. Moreover, a person needs to fulfill the rights of others and obligations upon him. So as we close today, we are speaking about some guidelines to attain the nisbah. And the first guideline was to remain in a state of wudu. Number two, constant dhikr, wukuful qalb, awareness of the heart, that's number two. Number three, adherence to the spiritual lessons, to what the Shaykh gives, adherence to that. And number four is control of the nafs, which requires determination, courage, willpower, self-control. And in self-control, it is control of eating, sleeping, talking, and interaction with people. We'll continue next week, Thursday, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun alal mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh.